Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. First of all, I want to say thanks for your prayers and your concern for my mother. I had an opportunity to go visit her. Most of you know that she has cancer. She has cancer in both lungs. Most people want to know how she's doing. I don't really know how to respond to that. You know, she's got cancer. She's very nervous. The doctors haven't decided exactly what they're going to do. She's supposed to know this next week and let me know whether they're going to try to operate or do chemotherapy or whatever. I did get a chance to present the gospel to her. She was receptive. I don't believe she's saved. She did listen to me. So I thank the Lord for that. Again, I thank you for your prayers and your concern. And this is what it's all about. I told my mother, I said, well, Ma, I says, even if you live through this, you're still going to die.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Even if you get through this, you're still going to die. And I says, all this life is just prepare for the one to come.
Amen.
All this life just to get ready to meet God. And so we need to prepare ourselves to meet God. And that's why I'm a missionary. There's other mothers out there that they don't know God.
That's right.
And I want you to know my mother's had a lot more chance than other mothers have. She's had chances to hear the gospel not only from me, but from other people. And being an American, she has just tremendous opportunity to hear the gospel. And so I thank the Lord for the chance I had. Look here in 2 Peter chapter 2. I'd hoped to have a chance to preach half of this chapter, but I think I'll just whittle it down to about three verses. He says in verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved on the judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with his filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we're winding this missionary conference down, and Lord, I pray that you touch our hearts, that we would lift up our eyes and see the fields are white unto harvest. And Lord, that we'd not just stand there gazing, but that we'd go out in the fields and we'd become laborers ourselves, we'd become fishers of men.
Amen.
And Lord, that we'd see a bountiful harvest, and we'd plant seeds, and we'd water, we'd do whatever you'd have us to do, and we'd go wherever you'd have us to go. Lord, our desire this morning is to do your will. Have mercy upon us. Fill us with your Spirit. God, move upon us and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Joey and I and Bill and the others were talking, well, what are we going to preach? And, of course, that's always a big thing, you know, a couple months before the mission conference, you know, what are we going to say? A lot of times, you're just really concerned about that, and well, I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to preach a sermon. I preach every day down there. This is in my text. 2 Peter chapter 2. I preach this lots of times. Bill's got it memorized. He could probably come up here and preach the same sermon. But I wanted to give it a little bit different tone, a little bit different angle. He says here in verse 4, God spared not the angels. In our day and time, a lot of people have this concept that God is love, and God is love. But they have the misconception that because God is love, He's not going to judge anybody. They have this misconception. A lot of the times, these psychologists and whatever, these teachers think that, well, if you really love your child, you don't spank them. I mean, how could you possibly love your child if you have a paddle and put it to their behind? How could that be? Well, they just don't understand what love is.
Amen.
And so people have a misconception of what God is. They think God is somehow a Santa Claus. You know how Santa Claus is. Some of you guys believe in Santa Claus. Well, let me tell you something. There's no Santa Claus. It's a fake. It's a myth. And this misconception that God is like a Santa Claus that you tell your children every year, now, John, if you don't behave, Santa's not going to bring you any gifts. Now, Johnny, if you don't straighten up, Santa Claus ain't going to bring you no presents. Now, Johnny, I'm telling you, Johnny, you got to behave or Santa Claus ain't going to bring you no presents. And what happens? Johnny doesn't behave and Santa Claus still brings him presents.
That's right.
And so that child grows up hearing these threats of condemnation, hearing these threats of judgment, hearing these threats of penalty to pay, and then nothing happens. And so when they get older, they hear about, now John, if you don't behave, God's going to send you to hell. Now John, if you don't behave, God's going to deal with you. Now Johnny, I'm warning you, Johnny, now listen, I'm telling you. Nah, they say, it's like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, let me tell you something. God is love. And God is righteous.
Amen.
You think about the angels that God created. I think about the devil himself, a cherub that covered. This cherub was created without fear. This cherub was was glorious to look upon. This chariot was, the cherubim was created by God Almighty. But you know what? He rebelled against God. The Bible says he took a third of the angels with him. You know what God said to that? He spared them not. He spared not the angels that sinned. Now you think about God. Jesus said that he had prepared hell for the devil and his angels. I think Jude talks about it, the reserved and chains of darkness. God condemned that which he created. God spared not that which he created. And he says he spared them not, but cast them down to hell and delivered them the chains of darkness reserved on the judgment. Now you think about God. He didn't spare what he created. He condemned the angels. He condemned the devil. The devil fights on because he has no fear, but they're condemned. But you know what? We weren't sent to angels. I, as a missionary, was not sent to angels. I look through this Bible, I find no hope for an angel.
That's right.
I find no help for the devil. I go to the very last chapter, almost the last chapter of the Bible, and I read that one day the devil will find himself in hell with the false prophet, and he's going to be tormented day and night forever and forever. It'll never escape. And I read from the beginning to the end that the coming destruction of the devil is going to be soon. It's going to, I want to say pronto. I don't know why, but that's what I want to say. It's going to be soon, and God's going to deliver him into hell, and he'll never escape. I find no help for the devil.
Amen.
I find no hope, no deliverance, no savior. They're doomed. They're condemned. Somebody would say, well, that's the devil. Of course God's going to judge the devil. God in love, he'd have to destroy the devil. He's the icon of wickedness. Well, look what he says here in verse 5. Not only did God not spare the angel that sinned, he says in verse 5, God spared not the old world. I think about Noah. You know, when Jesus preached, he said, there's going to come a time when just as the days of Noah.
Yeah.
Just as the days of Noah. Look over in Matthew in chapter 24 and verse 36. Here's what Jesus said. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus said, there's a comparison here. In the days of Noah, when people were eating and drinking and marrying and just carrying on with their life, and they knew not, the Bible says, look there what he says, and they knew not until the flood came, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man.
Amen.
Jesus said, when he comes, some people aren't going to know. Jesus said, when he comes, this destruction is going to come upon them as a surprise. They're going to be shocked. Noah was a missionary. And our text says that he was a preacher of righteousness.
Amen.
I wonder, as Noah heard the condemnation of all the world, God says, I'm going to destroy the world. And he said, Noah, build an ark. And Noah began building an ark, and he was sent to preach righteousness. I wonder if Noah looked out to the regions beyond and said, you know, I'm only one man. I got this ark to build, and I can only go so far, and I can only do so much. Are there anybody else out there telling them when they come in destruction? I think about Noah. He's a world missionary. He was the only missionary. He was it. The Bible says he preached righteousness. Now think about that. You think about Noah. He was a man. He had a family. And God looked down one day and he says, you know, it repents me that I've made man. They're just continually wicked. Their imagination, their thoughts are only towards wickedness. I'm just fed up with it. I'm going to destroy the world. And the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God said, Noah, build an ark. And Noah began building. And the Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. Now let's imagine that. Let's just think about that, how that goes today. Could you imagine Noah standing up and preaching? Now listen, folks. God says it's going to rain. Excuse me, Noah, what's rain? Could you tell, how's that in the Greek? I mean, how's that going to Hebrew? We're not familiar with this term rain. Well, either am I, but God said he's going to do it. God said he's going to destroy this world. And people began to mock without doubt. Ah, that Noah, he's crazy, man. Hadn't you heard Noah? God is love. Noah, you got to understand, God would never judge us. After all, we're God's creatures. God wouldn't destroy us. Surely, Noah, you know better than that. Noah, I think you've been on the bottle too long. Noah, something's wrong with you. You're crazy. And I imagine there was many a mocked and many a laughed and many a scoffed at Noah. And I imagine when Noah first began preaching, some gave thought, well, maybe it's true. Maybe it's true. You know, it appears to me that Noah spent 120 years building that ark and preaching. That's what it appears to me. I imagine the first few weeks they thought, well, man, you know, their old conscience began to prick them. They began to think and consider, well, you know, maybe God just might judge me. I am kind of a wicked man, and I really haven't sought His face or done anything. Maybe God just might judge me. But the days went by, and the days turned into weeks, the weeks turned into months, and the months turned into years. And they heard the same message over and over again from Noah. Nah, you've been saying that for a long time, Noah. I don't believe you. No, man, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. No, come on, Noah, we're going to have a party here. Why be concerned about our eternal destiny? Noah, you got to understand, God's going to pass over us and have mercy upon us. God is merciful, Noah. And Noah preached, and Noah preached, and Noah preached, and Noah preached, and Noah built, and Noah built, and Noah built. And one day a tremendous thing happened. Animals began walking two by two. And the people began to scratch their head. Now, you ever seen anything like this before? Hey, Ma, come here. I want to show you something. Look at that, man. Look at all that. What's Noah doing now? All the animals marching into the ark. And Noah giving his last sermon. You understand that? Noah giving his last sermon. The Bible says that ark had one door in it. The Bible says that Noah, his wife, his three sons and their wives, eight persons, entered the ark. The Bible says God shut the door. Everybody's standing out saying, now what in the world's going on? No more Noah. He's inside the ark. All the animals inside the ark. His family's inside the ark. Begins the rain. Can you imagine the terror on the people's faces then? Oh my God, it's real! And they scream, they run to the door, and they beat on the door, and they say, no, no, we believe! No, we're believers in a righteous God! Oh no, open the door! Well, the Bible says God had shut the door, and it was too late. Can you imagine the terror as they try to climb the mountains? Can you imagine the terrors they climb on the rooftops and the water keeps ascending? Can you imagine mothers grabbing the little babies and saying, oh my God, what have I done? Can you imagine that? I can imagine that. You think about these floods that have hit here in Texas. I remember a few years back reading about the floods in Bandera. I remember reading a story about a man. He was in his house and the flood waters rose, and he went up to the second floor and the flood water rose. Climbed up in his attic, and the flood water rose, and there he was in his attic. And how's he going to get up? He began beating on the roof with his fists, the plywood and the shingles. And he beat a hole through. And he got on the roof, and finally the waters abated. And he was saved. I can remember stories about people spending a night in treetops, just hanging on. They were saved, because the water only went so far. I can remember stories like that, and people hanging on and escaping in boats and all sorts of things. Helicopters coming by and getting them. But you know what? The Bible says God destroyed the whole world. Every last one of them. Amen. Every one of them died. There wasn't a tree tall enough for them to hang on to. There wasn't a mountain high enough that they could escape. There wasn't a place they could go. And when that rain came, all hope for them had ceased. When Noah entered into the ark and that God shut the door, that was it. There was no more hope, no more chance, no more mercy. That was it. And the Bible says that many of them knew not until the flood came. And brethren, for me, one of the hardest things for me, it's very difficult to speak to someone and say, I don't want your God. But they've heard. They had a chance. It's hard for me to sit down with someone and say, look, I'm just too busy for God. I've got my business and I've got my family and I've got this and I've got that to do. I don't have time for God. That's very difficult for me to walk away and say, what a fool. You're so foolish, can't you see? But I think of the millions out there that never have heard. Right. I think of the people like myself that walk down the streets and they're in their homes and their colonies and their subdivisions. They're thinking, you know, there's got to be more to life than this. But they've never heard of Jesus Christ. They've never heard of the gospel. They've never heard of that saving ark. They've never heard the door, Jesus Christ. They've never heard the way, Jesus Christ. They've never heard the road, Jesus Christ. They've never heard. And the Bible says that when the flood came, those that knew not God were destroyed. The Bible says that everybody outside the ark was destroyed. Now let me ask you something. What type of people do you think were back there in that time? You think they're all rebellious Satan worshipers? No, they were faithful Catholics. They were faithful Methodists. They were faithful to their religion at the time. They were believers in God, quote. They were good people in our concept. They were decent people in our concept. Oh, without doubt, they were murderers. Without doubt, they were perverts. Without doubt, they were the scum of society. Without doubt, yes. But they were little old ladies, sweet little old ladies. They were mothers, were newborn babies. And they all died. Why? They knew not. They knew not. I was given a book called Dam Breaking Georgia. I'm not sure exactly where. I imagine Georgia because it was Dam Breaking Georgia, right? About a little community that was built below a dam, trailer homes, little two or three bedroom houses, small community. And this dam holding back, I don't know, a lake broke in the middle of the night. And that water come rising and is telling the story of this one man. He was in his home with his three children, ages 7, 6, and 4, something like that. And he woke up in the middle of the night and the water was coming into the trailer home. He said, oh, we have a flood. And he reached up and he got his children out of bed and he reached up where he's going to climb out the window. And he set his 5-year-old child up on the windowsill and that second wave of water, about 25 feet high, hit and just washed his child away. Never saw him again. I remember that same story. A man says, you know, we were just thrown out of bed by the force of the wave. And we were thrown down. We were just like a raging river come through and just swept them all away. And you know, he said he got up to the shore and he thought, oh my, where's my wife and where's my family? And he began crying out and he began trying to help these people. And he was helping all night long and he was just helping different people, pulling different people out. And he came to this one lady. And they were dragging her out and her face was just ravaged. He couldn't recognize her. And he said he just wept. He felt so sorry. He said, my, here's a mother, here's a wife, just completely destroyed, but she was alive, and they hauled her off to the hospital. He found out later that night that was his wife. They're all destroyed. You know what? Some of them, that flood, they survived. Some of them escaped. Yes, yeah, some were maimed, some were scarred. In the days of Noah, every last one of them died. Right. Jesus said very few are going to enter the gates of life. Very few. The majority are going to end up in hell. The Bible says that Jesus was in the world, and the world knew him not. And brother, my responsibility as a missionary and your responsibility as a missionary is the world might know God.
Amen.
Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Isn't it amazing? Noah was a missionary and he was a preacher of righteousness. Verse 21. For that, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so God said, Noah! You just became a preacher of righteousness. It's amazing how God is consistent. But the world by wisdom knew not God. You can't figure out God. And some of you are sitting here this morning and say, well, that seems very unjust to me. Some of you are trying to condemn God. Right now you say, well, how in the world could God do that? I was preaching this sermon down there. A man come up to me and said, well, if you really believe that, then you believe in a cruel God. Your God must be cruel to destroy all them people. I said, well, I thought it was very merciful that he saved 8. He saved 8, didn't he? He could have destroyed them all. I mean, God is God, isn't he?
Amen.
Who are you to argue with God? Huh? Who are you to get in the debate with God and tell God what he's got to do and what he can't do? You know, I read this book that God, he's the creator.
Amen.
He's the author. He is.
Amen.
He said, I am. He can do as he please.
Amen.
And if God so chose, he could send us all to hell if he wanted to. What amazes me that God had mercy upon 8.
Amen.
God is cruel. He had mercy. Now, if somebody treated you like you treat God, you'd kill them already. Isn't that right? If you thought you could get away with it, if you thought you was God and get away with it, you'd already kill them. Your heart's wicked. Well, I believe Noah was a missionary. I believe Noah wished that maybe there was somebody else there to help him to reach this world that knew not God. Look back in our text. In 2 Peter, he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Let me tell you, friends, God is righteous. Sin will be judged. Sin must be dealt with. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Right.
You'll not get away with your sin. You're going to pay the consequences. You can hide it from Daddy. I found out that daddies aren't so smart. Sometimes they just don't catch everything. You can even hide it from the police. A lot of crimes go undetected. You can commit adultery on your wife. She might not know. Let me tell you something. God knows. God knows. You know what I found out? I found out a lot of Catholics deceive their priests. Now, I would never imagine this, but you know, after you deal with these people after a while, you begin finding out some things. You know, they're so embarrassed about their sin, they don't want to tell that priest what they did, so they just make up stuff to them. They just lie to them. Isn't that the way men are? Isn't that the way people are? Now, let me tell you something. You can't lie to God.
Amen.
Has anybody here ever been strapped up to a lie detector? I got strapped up once. They asked me, Mr. Riggs, have you ever stole anything from your employer? No. Well, I haven't. No, I haven't. No. And they went on and asked me, you know, a whole bunch of other questions. They come back and say, now, Mr. Riggs, we had a negative reading here on this. Let's ask that question again. Have you ever stolen anything from your employer? No. Again. Mr. Riggs, what are you thinking about? Well, I was working at a hamburger place one time, and, you know, it's kind of chaco, you know, and we really weren't supposed to eat the hamburgers after the end of the, you know, at the end of the day, had all these leftover hamburgers. Well, you know, you hate to see them go to waste, so you just go ahead and eat them, right? You know, why? But the policy was you're supposed to throw them in a trash can. Well, I thought, man, look at all them good hamburgers going to waste. So I ate them. You know, and that lie detector just gets right down there and finds out what you're talking about. Of course, you know, I had it all rationalized out. You know, it was going to waste anyway. Why can't I eat it? But, you know, you think about it. Here's what the boss's concept was. Well, you just cook a whole bunch of hamburgers just about 5 minutes before quitting time. Have them all ready to go. And so I was always sort of wondering about that. And that lie detector says, yeah. Now you know. Now, I've heard people can fool lie detectors. Professional liars. They got no conscience. But you ain't going to fool God.
That's right. Amen.
The Bible says when he destroyed all them people, he saw the wickedness of their imaginations, their hearts. That ought to scare you. To think that one day you're going to give an account to God that knows you. Oh, you can fool the preacher because you put on your Sunday best and you show up to church every once in a while. God knows you in the closet. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Look over in Romans. Hold your place there because we're coming right back. But look over at Romans. Here's why I'm a missionary. When I was 16 years old, a young lady by the name of Gwen Higgins came to me and spoke to me about the gospel. I'd never heard it. Some people say I heard it, but I never heard it. I may have heard it, but I never heard it. She read this verse to me, Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
I got a hold of that and I thought, is God a liar? No, God's not a liar. Is that promise for me? I mean, is that just made for certain people or is that for anybody? He said, whosoever. I guess that's for me.
Amen.
What is the condition? Well, if I call,
amen,
then what is the response of God? He said. I said, well, I think I'll take that. And I took God at his word. I said, God, I don't understand all this, and I'm not worthy, but it says here, if I'd call upon you, you'd save me. I want you to save me. And I didn't pray some prayer made out by somebody and repeat it. I don't even know the exact words I said, but when I got off my knees that night, I knew I was saved.
Amen.
God saved my soul. Now notice what he says after that. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
Amen.
All right, God has made a promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means that them families in Aguas Calientes, if they call upon the Lord, God is faithful to save them.
Right.
Believe on him in whom they have not heard. And how should they hear without a preacher? Look down at verse 17. So then faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There's all types of faiths in the world. There's a Catholic faith, Protestant faith, all types of faith. But the faith that doesn't come by the hearing the word of God doesn't save. Your faith that doesn't come from this book is vain. Your faith that doesn't come from this word, God's word, won't change your life, won't give you peace, won't save your soul. It's got to come here. So we're ordained to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Says right here, if they don't hear, they're not going to believe. Says right here, if we don't go, they're not going to hear.
Right.
Says right here, if you don't send them people willing to go, then they're not going to hear, and they're not going to know, and they're going to go to hell. No te cae bien, brother. Doesn't sit well with you. That's why I'm a missionary. You give them a chance.
Amen.
You say, well, how do we know? I think about Jonah. Jonah goes in that city, and God says destruction in 40 days. Destruction in 40 days. And them guys hear that thing and they say, God have mercy. God have mercy. And God had mercy.
Amen.
And somebody says, well, you think God would have mercy upon Aguas Calientes? I don't know, but I'm going to go and try and find out. Do you think God would forgive? It says there in Romans, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
I think so. Look back in our text. Noah, I think he was a world missionary. Then there was this fellow named Lot. He says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly." You know who Lot is? He's that fellow that walked with Abraham. You know who Abraham is? He's the man of God. Lot walked with Abraham, and one day Lot said, "You know, Abraham, we're just having some disputes here. I think I'll just go my own way." And so Lot headed down in the valley, nice green valley, nice comfortable home, nice city living. He could have all the steak he wanted. He could have all the good food he wanted. He didn't have to put up with mole, menudo, pozole, all the other stuff you get down there. He didn't have, I think I'll just stay back here and have my McDonald's and my Wendy's. You know, this is kind of good living here. After all, somebody's got to go to the States, don't they? Somebody's got to be a missionary in the States, don't they? So I think I'll just take my lot right down here in Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, after all, you know, Jesus did say go home and tell your friends and your neighbors. So we got to tell them. They're part of the world too, aren't they? So Lot says, "I'll head on over to Sodom and I think I'll be a missionary right there." Now think about this Lot. That's your average American Christian. Isn't that so?
Yeah.
Lot is your average American Christian. Just sitting back, living good, but he forgot about being a testimony. You read the story of Lot in Genesis? You know what it says? It says, God says, you know, he heard the wickedness going on in Lot, in Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, "I'm going to send some angels down and see what's going on." And he sends these angels down in there. Lot was out there to greet them. He says, "Fellas, I'm going to invite you over for supper." Nice friendly type. He says, "Come on into my house." "No," them angels said, "no, we're supposed to stay out here in the street and find out what's going on. God sent us down here to do some checking out." "No, fellas, you just don't understand. This is a wicked city. I want you to come over to my house." "No, I think we'll just stay right." And they had this discussion, and finally Lot persuaded them to come to his house. And the Bible says the men of the city came knocking on Lot's door, and he said, "Lot, we understand some young men came to town. We'd like to know them. They were perverts." And you know what Lot said? Lot said, "You ought not to be doing this. I tell you what, you don't take these men, I'll give you my virgin daughters." You think of the depravity of just men. Do you understand that? The depravity of just men. Look what it says down there, verse 8. "For that righteous man," Lot, "that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." You know what Lot said, should have said? "God have mercy upon me. I've ruined my life. I've wasted my life. You'll not get the men. You'll not get my daughters. We're leaving."
Right.
But you know what? He'd sat back and he was lukewarm for so long that he didn't have the guts to say no. He didn't have the boldness to stand up for righteousness. Now I want to finish this story, and you think about Lot. You think about him. He sat in that town for who knows how many years. And when Abraham's praying over there in the hill, "God, if there be but 10 righteous in the city, would you spare?" Oh, Abraham, he started out with about 40 or so, and he worked it down. He said, "Surely Lot's won his family. Surely Lot, in all that time, has won his family, and God is merciful upon the righteous. Surely Lot has done some witnessing. Surely he's won somebody in all that time." And so Abraham stops at 10 and says, "Lord, there be but 10. Lord said, "All right, there'll be 10. I'll spare the city." So when he goes down there, and them men knocking on doors, "We don't want to know your daughters. We want to know them men." And they began beating on the door, and they tried to get in. And the Bible says the angels blinded them. And he sent Lot out to be a missionary. "All right, go to your family, and you tell them to get out of this city. You tell them to separate themselves from this city, because God's going to destroy it." And you think about Lot going over to one of his daughters, other daughter's house that was married, knocking on the door, and says, "Sweetie, it's coming time. God's going to destroy." "Well, Daddy, we go to church on Sunday. Now it's Friday night, Daddy. What do we want to be going to church?" "You just don't understand, honey. God's going to destroy this place. You just got to get out." "No, Daddy, you got to understand God's law. Besides, we got the bowling leagues tonight. Besides, we got other things to be doing. We're so occupied. Daddy, you taught us well. This is the life in Sodom and Gomorrah." "No, Daddy, I've got to consider my retirement. I've got to consider my home. I've got to consider my welfare. But Daddy, I just don't have time." "Besides, Daddy, God is love." Can you see Lot's broken heart? Can you see him thinking, "What a fool I've been"? He knows the coming of judgment of God now. Can you feel his heart as he's leaving that city by force and the angels grab hold of their hands and drag him out thinking, "What an idiot I've been"? Can you imagine Lot? His heart and his mind,
Just a few weeks later, thinking about, I've lost everything. What a fool I've been. But my friends, that's what most American Christians are today. They're sitting down in Sodom and Gomorrah with we're going to hell.
Right.
Unrighteousness, ungodliness, and they're not living a righteous life. They're not being a witness and a testimony. And when the rubber meets the road and it comes time to do something, nobody believes them.
Right.
Their own family don't believe them because, nah. If that's what Christianity is, I don't want nothing to do with it. If your God can't change you, then forget it. I don't want anything to do with it. I believe there's going to be a many man in hell, the testimony of Christians. I don't want anything to do with God. I know them Christians. I know how they act. I know what they do. I don't want anything to do with them. And God said He spared not the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. It says over there in Titus that they profess to know God, but in works they denied Him. Oh, there's a lot of professing Christians. And there's a lot of people reject God because of professing Christians. And there's a lot of people reject God because of Christians that are Christians. Don't want anything to do with them because they don't live a righteous life. Because they're not faithful to what they believe. Oh, I believe in God! They never read the book. Oh, I love God! But they go to church when it's convenient. Oh, I believe in God! But they never told anybody about the Lord. You and I reading this book, when God gets a hold of people, He makes them witnesses. When God gets a hold of people, their mouths are open. They want to tell people about the Lord. But you and I find the average American Christian, they just want to go to work, put their hour in on Sunday morning, go to work, put their hour in on Sunday morning, and that's it. They don't want anybody to know that they're Christian except for Christians. That's been my experience. By the grace of God, I've seen a few wild ones. I've seen a few faithful ones. I've seen a few Abrahams. But the majority of them are Lots, living in Laodicea. They're not hot. Well, they're not cold either. Just kind of look. No, we don't want to be too fanatical now. We don't want to be bold. No, we couldn't do that. And God says, I'm going to spew them out of my mouth. I don't like them. What a tragedy. You don't have to be a Lot. You can be a Noah. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe some of you won't be called to go into the regions beyond. Maybe God's call for you is to be faithful right where you're at.
Amen.
In an ungodly and wicked generation. To be a shining light. Maybe God's call for you is to be bold right on your job. Right where you work. To be faithful. To your family, your friends. Maybe God's call for you is to win your husband. Win your daughters. Children. Maybe that's God's only call for you. That's your world God's called you to. Are you faithful? I believe old Lot wished he had been faithful. Maybe Lot was discouraged because he didn't get the call of knowing to get to go into all the world. I know a lot of people like that. Boy, if I could just go to Mexico, boy, you just don't know what I could do. But are you faithful where you're at? Are you doing what God's told you to do where you're at? Well, look in John 4. I'm going to close with this. John chapter 4. And verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. I have that in my heart and my mind. If they only knew, they would. If they only knew, they would. And I've dedicated my life so that they might know. He says over there, he was in the world, and the world knew him not. Came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, unto them that believe on him. He says over in 1 John 5, I can remember it in English. Let me read it. I want to quote it in Spanish. 1 John 5, verse 13. He that hath the Son, I'm sorry, these things have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. God has written some things down as promises to us. Brother Lyndon preached the other morning here, this is a promise book. It's a book full of promises. There are some promises here that God will save a wicked sinner. That's one of the greatest promises in this book. That God, who is righteous and just and holy, that He'd have compassion upon a sinner. But you know what? He said there's only one way. That's Jesus.
Amen.
He said, you just can't come your way. You just can't do it by your method. He said, you got to come to my Son. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I said I was going to close. This is it. I want you to think about it. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Here's another famous text. I preach on this all the time. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to get there. Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus,
Amen.
Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. It says here, God wants you to know. It's God's desire. He wants you to know. You know what else he says? There's only one mediator. There's only one way. There's only one door in the ark. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get saved by religion. Some of you sitting here today, you're fed up with religion. I don't blame you. I'm fed up with religion myself. You don't need religion. You need God.
Amen.
Some of you, you're accusing God for what some stupid Christian did. Now, that's kind of stupid. I said, God never did nothing wrong. Why get mad at him? Some of you are discouraged because of the lots in this world. Well, I'm sorry. But you know what? God's still going to judge you.
Amen.
Whether you believe it or not, Lot was a righteous man and God took him to heaven. You'd be a fool to go to hell just because Lot didn't live right. Why don't you get saved and live right? But your only hope is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so we go into all the world and we preach Jesus Christ crucified. Jesus Christ resurrected. Jesus Christ the only way.
Amen.
Now, a lot of people, they don't like that because they love their religion too much. And they like their way. My friend, Jesus is the only way. Amen.
Amen.